Mmm, the first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Everyday MBA, interviews with best-selling authors, innovative thought leaders, and top-shelf executives, all sharing their best techniques and tips that you don't learn in business school. I'm your host, Kevin Crane, and I'm so pleased that you're listening. Our guest today is Carol Kaufman. Carol is known internationally as a leader in the field of leadership coaching. Indeed, Marshall Goldsmith, who was with us on the show just recently, named Carol the number one leadership coach. Thinkers 50 ranks her among the top eight coaches in the world. She's an assistant professor at Harvard Medical School and a visiting professor at Henley Business School. But Carol is with us today to talk about her new book, co-authored with David Noble, Real-Time Leadership, Find Your Winning Moves When the Stakes Are High. So, Carol, welcome to Everyday MBA. In your book, you say that leadership's greatest challenge is mastering how to respond when stakes are high. Tell us more. What do you mean by that?
A lot of what the book is about is being able to kind of master the moment and not play on your default reactions that you have to things. And why is that? That is, with coming out of the pandemic, the war, George Floyd, the whole world being topsy-turvy and very high stakes, that leaders need new playbooks, not the old ones. And it's the time where leaders are having the kind of pressures that would just crush an ordinary person. So how do they maintain resilience at the same time that they're just surrounded by challenge?
Well, I want to talk about the process that you suggest for leaders to go through in making good decisions, critical decisions when it counts most. But I want to ask first about the pace of things today. Often critical decisions are ones that often need to be made quickly and certainly in real time. What's your advice for listeners and leaders who must navigate these split second decisions?
Well, I think that, first of all, I think there's many things going on. I also think things are so intense now that there's nothing that a CEO can be in charge of completely. So part of it is making sure you have a really good team around you. As leadership is now being sort of more flat or flexible and fluid rather than the clear hierarchical. So number one, in terms of making split second decisions, you don't have to be so alone anymore. The second one, I think a big thing to overcome, frankly, is ego and being kind of worried about what this decision will say about me. I think what's really important in terms of leadership now is to really be so customer-centric, so your people-centric, so that you have something clear and stable driving your decisions. And I can talk a little bit more about that as we go on.
All right. Your book provides a framework for leaders called MOVE, M-O-V-E. M-O-V-E starts with M, be mindfully alert. What do you mean by that?
Okay. So mindfully alert, I really like this concept. On one hand, it's being mindful, you know, a bit the way we think of meditation, but not a passive meditation. It's being mindful in terms of being open to what's really going on around you, and not making prejudgments and decisions about what's going on around you, because those are going to be pattern recognition based from the past and not oriented towards the present or the future. So first is being mindful, that kind of open. The next is alert. And we think of that as alert the way an elite athlete is alert. So imagine whatever your sport is, whether it's like soccer or basketball, tennis, the way that you have to really be alert in this moment to what is going on outside of you, what you need to accomplish. Inside of you, can I manage myself? Who do I want to be right now? Or interpersonally, like what do I need to do with my teammates? What do I need to do in the way that I relate to other people? And we call that the three dimensions of leadership. and that they are always inextricably connected to each other. So the first step is being mindfully alert to what's going on outside, inside, and in the way that you relate.
All right, mindfully alert, M-O-V-E. The next one is to generate options. Yeah. This sounds self-evident, but perhaps not. Tell me more.
Excellent. On one hand, it is self-evident. And on the other hand, under stress, we don't do it.
That's right.
You know, right. We go with our default, what's tried and true, you know, and then as our beloved Marshall says, you know, what got you here won't get you there. And in some ways, our book takes up where his takes off. So, okay, so we have something called the options generator framework. And what is that? What it is kind of a way, like, how do you create options? Like, okay, I've got one option, which is dive in. And what's another? So what I base this on is the whole point is to overcome your reflexes. So our main reflexes are the four Fs, fight, flight, freeze, and befriend. So under stressful situations, those are our defaults. And you can think of them as four different sets of defaults. And different people have different defaults. And how do we help you overcome those? Now, in regular life, everything's not life and death. We think of it as, in a situation, do you want to lean in, like really engage? And that can be with enthusiasm or aggression, depending on what's needed, but lean in and really engage in that conflict, or lean back and be objective and more thoughtful and maybe avoid conflict. And then we have lean with, which is people first, nurturing others. And then one called don't lean, which is the discipline of doing nothing in those moments when the stakes are high. That's the hardest one of all. But now you can take these four sets of options, and you can apply them to the three dimensions of leadership. So, okay, it's a merger and acquisition, or I have to have a difficult discussion. I can lean in and really go for it. I can pause, lean back, and look at the data. I can lean with and go sort of people first, where the people issues, etc. Or I can have a moment where I don't lean. And what that allows you to do is what I call receptive knowledge. You know, like when somebody says something, you go, yes, I knew that. That you get that through, you know, the running or the shower moment, but how to actually use that on purpose in real time.
Hi, this is Susan Steinbrecher, co-author of Heart-Centered Leadership, and you are listening to Everyday MBA with Kevin Crane.
Do you want to be a guest on Everyday MBA? Join our alumni of best-selling authors and top-shelf executives in an interview of your own. Are you an author, a thought leader, an entrepreneur, or a consultant? Be a guest. Talk about your ideas, why they're important, and what your recommendations are for our listeners. Find out more at everyday-mba.com/guest. That's everyday-mba.com/guest.
You're listening to Everyday MBA.
We are here today with Carol Kaufman. We're talking about her book, Real-Time Leadership, Find Your Winning Moves When the Stakes Are High. And we've been talking about her MOVE framework presented in the book, M-O-V-E. We talked about M, be mindfully alert, and O, generate options. Now, next is V, and this is validate your vantage point. What do you mean by validating your vantage point?
Okay, thank you. I really love this one. So the first thing is to think, like, if you were 10 out of 10 on having a really good vantage point, like, what does that even mean? So there's sort of four aspects to it. One is, you know, from where you're looking, your point of view, first of all, how clear are you? Now, you can use this, by the way, assessing yourself or with people who working for you and they have a point of view. These are things you can sort of keep in mind. So one is, how clear is it? What do I mean by that? I mean, am I or is someone wearing rose-colored glasses and over-optimism? So, for example, 75% of entrepreneurial ventures fail due to over-optimism, not insecurity. So if you got those rose-colored glasses on and you're an entrepreneur, watch out. Find someone who's got charcoal-colored glasses on. So, you know, do you see things too pessimistically? In which case, how do you flip that around to a solution orientation? do you see things too optimistically? Then, as an example, nearsighted, farsighted. Are you really good at seeing things close up? Less good about what's in the distance? Say you're much more tactical than strategic. Or the reverse. You're really good at farsighted, but not so good at nearsighted. So then first clear in those different ways. And then resolution. How clear or grainy a picture is okay for something. So if you're the head of an organization, or frankly, even just, you know, head of your own life, if you look at everything with high resolution and too much detail, you get overwhelmed. So you have to kind of budget your attention. So where is it okay to be grainy? You know, where is it that you need to be very high resolution? And I was just at a conference where a CEO said, you know, I need to have a microscope and a telescope at the same time and look through them. So then it's the breadth, how wide a view do you need? You know, for example, if it's creativity, marketing, blue sky thinking, obviously breadth. But if it's a budget, you better narrow down. So how wide or narrow is ideal? And then your altitude, you know, do you have the capacity to zoom in, zoom up, as Rosabeth Cantor talked about in her HBR article. So that's like if you're 10 out of 10 on vantage point, those are the things to look at. The second set of things, though, is how's your view distorted? What might distort your view completely, like blind spots? What you don't know that you don't know, unconscious bias, thinking about how does your emotion regulation or your personality impact what you see, and then get a whole bunch of people together. And then you can be much more aware of dialing up or dialing down those different aspects of validating a vantage point.
This is really evidence of that horizontal leadership style that you were talking about earlier, rather than you're not in it alone, it was, I think, how you put it. And so this is evidence of that.
Yes.
All right. So we've done M, we've done O, we've done V, and E is engage and affect change. Mm-hmm. Oh, easy.
Yeah. Just like,
tell us more.
Just like I know all my options and I can just do them. And that's why this continual emphasis on the high stakes scenario. Because we become exaggerated versions of ourselves under those conditions. So in terms of the engage and affect change, two of the things that we really look at is, okay, so I've decided what those external demands are. Okay, so let's say we've decided we're going to double the size of our company. Okay, great. If you want to engage and affect change, like, hello, does anybody want to like come with you on this journey? What are the leadership signals that you can send out? How can you then hear what's been heard, what's not been heard, so that you can replicate that message and see, does it catch fire? Does it hit resistance? And then what can you do either way? So part of that is really being attuned to your leadership signals. But then another piece of it is, how can you be harnessing yourself directly? So we know a lot of subject matter experts. And I had one guy, subject matter expert, brilliant, brilliant guy. And he was in charge of about 300 labs. And he was doing really well. And the next thing he knew, he was in charge of 600 labs. And so he said, Carol, I have a confession. Confession? What's he going to be confessing? He goes, well, listen, I really understand all the material for my people, but I don't really understand the research on the other side. So I have privately hired a group of consultants, and they're going through every single project and telling me the strengths and the weaknesses. So when I work with each of the leaders, I'll know what I'm talking about. And which point I just cracked up laughing and said, like, oh, Leo, you poor guy. You can't be the subject matter expert for everybody. You get high up enough, you're a leader of leaders, and your job is to create the conditions where they can be great and they can know what's going on. You don't have to be that expert. How can you do what only you can do? And there's lots of people out there who can know the details of the studies, but only you can have that overview and awareness and feel for the culture, for how you can get the best out of everybody. And we had a good laugh about that. And then he then confessed to his people and actually had the experts with him in the meetings. So that's an example of, you know, in terms of engaging and affecting change, to like understand what your leadership goal is.
Do you want to get into podcasting but don't have the time, technology, or expertise to get it done? Maybe you want to create a podcast for your company or feature a happy customer in an audio interview of their own. My audio podcasting services give voice to your success and expertise. So if you like what I do, why not let me do it for you? Find out more at cranegroup.com. That's C-R-A-I-N-E, cranegroup.com.
You're listening to Everyday MBA.
We are here today with Carol Kaufman. Carol is known internationally as a leader in the field of leadership coaching. She's an assistant professor at Harvard Medical School, but she's with us today to talk about her new book, co-authored with David Noble, Real-Time Leadership, Find Your Winning Moves When the Stakes Are High. Now, Carol, the book shares a number of real leaders' personal stories. Can you give us one story or one example of a leader who you feel has been particularly successful? What did they do? What were their results, and how can we do it too?
You know, I really love the last part of your question. You know, how can we do it too? Because otherwise, hearing these big stories, like, that's fine, but like, what about me? What do I do? So I like the democratization of that question. So I'll tell you just like who falls in my mind at the moment. This guy, he's a CEO of, I can't say how small it is because you can figure out who he is, so I'll say Fortune 50. And it was very interesting because there was a lot of pressure on him when I started working with him before he became the CEO. And there was a lot of pressure on him in ways I think there's a lot of pressure on a lot of us when we step into role, is to be like the person who had the role before us. The person who had the role before him is a rock star, riveted everybody, really charismatic. You know, he walked into the room and, man, he was the center of attention. And my guy was like, but that's not me. So I've got to be more like that. Like, you know, I've got to be, everybody's saying I've got to be more charismatic. I have to have more stories. I'd be able to hold the room. But that's not him. So it was interesting. So he said, okay, if so-and-so is a rock star, what's the metaphor that works for you? So that's when we started exploring different options. And the first we thought of an orchestra conductor. Was my idea. I thought it was a great idea. Then as soon as we talked about it a little bit, he's like, well, the orchestra conductor is still the one in control. Everybody's got the eye. So it's just a different kind of rock star. And as he thought about it, he's like, oh, I think I want to be more like a jazz musician where you're kind of known as the lead, but you're really playing with the whole band. And what did that require? One is it required him freeing himself up from the mandates that other people had, that he had to be the same kind of leader that the other guy was, charismatic, you know, leading from the front. But he had to find his own. I think that's true for us in a lot of ways. We can have these expectations of how we should be. You know, like if we think back to Vantage Point, for example, you could say, I should be an eagle. I should be someone who can really see 5 years in the future. And if I can't, I'm sort of not okay. As opposed to many of us are actually dolphins. We are under the water and we're pinging and we're responding to what's going on in the moment. And then we leap above the water now and then and see, and then we go back under. So if I'm taking over from an eagle, I am in trouble if I think I have to be an eagle, you know, or I'm a jazz musician and I suddenly have to be a rock star. So I think that was a big one. And it's based on one, him really answering the question. So back to the dimensions of leadership, the first dimension is, you know, what do I need to do? The second one is, who do I need to be? So he really thought about, who do I need to be? Not, I need to be what people are telling me I should be. You know, you should be blank. So it takes really knowing yourself. It also takes, again, that overcoming ego. I think with these leaders, you keep have to coming back to that you really have to have a mindset of service. And what's really cool is, so he recently had a meeting with his board And the feedback was, you do not feel like a second year CEO. You feel like a 5 or 6 year CEO. And then about the famous rock star, I'll call him Blake. And they said, and Blake who? It's you. So that was an example of a real successful coaching endeavor with him. Doesn't always go so well, but that one went well.
Carol, it has been great speaking with you today. We're almost out of time, but before I let you go, one last question.
Yeah.
You've given us some great advice here today, but what was the best piece of advice that you ever received, and how has it shaped who you are?
Well, oddly enough, it was from Marshall Goldsmith, and he said, you got a lot to say, Carol, write a book. But I'll give you another more in-depth story. So people assume I'm a Harvard professor and all this kind of stuff, that I was very gifted, academically talented, et cetera. I was actually a B-minus, C-plus student in high school. And the guidance counselor told my mother, Carol's very well-rounded. You don't really need to send this one to college. And so how did I get from there to here? A number of ways, and this isn't exactly advice, it was very powerful, is I had a professor at, I went to Boston University, applied to Harvard, didn't get in, barely got into BU. And we had an assignment, we had to read a bunch of articles and talk about them. And she had every one of her students, there were 200 in this class, she had every single student come and meet with her individually. So she asked me a question about the assignment, and it was something written by Anna Freud. So I was like going, well, Anna Freud thinks this and Anna Freud thinks that. And she got really annoyed at me. And she said, you don't care what Anna Freud thinks, Carol. You're as smart as Anna Freud. What do you think? I was like, this teacher who has won awards for being the best teacher in the world just got mad at me because I don't think I'm smart. And it changed how I felt about myself. You're as smart as Anna Freud. You know, decades later, that has stayed with me. And for people listening, if you've been told you're not the bright one in your family, I was actually the stupid little sister. Literally, when I went to get a PhD, my sister said, if my stupid little sister could get a PhD, so can I. And she did, quicker than me. But if you've gotten messages like that, just, you know, don't believe them.
That is Carol Kaufman. Find her at carolkaufman.com and get her book, Real-Time Leadership, Find Your Winning Moves When the Stakes Are High. Carol, thank you so much for being our guest today on Everyday MBA.
It's been a pleasure.
That'll do it for this episode of Everyday MBA. And do you want to be a guest on the show? It could happen. Join our Knowledge Leadership Circle and be featured in an interview of your own. Be a guest. Just go to everyday-mba.com/guest for more information. That's everyday-mba.com/guest.
Whether you're looking to build a website for your business, your hobby, your podcast, or just for fun, Pear Networks is your go-to web hosting partner. Not only do we have the lowest domain price in the industry, starting at just $11, we've got hundreds of stunning website templates to help you stand out from the crowd. You're not a techie? Not a problem. With our easy DIY site builders, you can launch your impressive website without any technical know-how. And when it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. Check out pear.com today to learn more. PAIR.com.
Ever tried reading while jogging, cooking, or even juggling flaming torches? Yeah, doesn't end well. But with audiobooks.com, you can conquer books without the circus act. Dive into over 450,000 titles, including more than 10,000 free ones. Get hooked on a bestseller. Find your next obsession. Or finally read that classic you've been avoiding since high school. And here's the inside scoop. Sign up today for a free 30-day trial and snag your first three audiobooks on the house. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.